Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast, presented by 13 Fishing Canada. Make your own luck. We're here to scratch that angling itch and talk everything fishing. Join us as we sit down with special guests from across the industry. Now, here's your hosts, Brandon Cater and Logan Lewis.
What is going on, Weekend Warriors? Welcome to episode, 44?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, episode 44. We're super excited to sit down, talk some fishing. We got some big announcements to go over, as well as our top 10 Christmas gift ideas for the fishermen by a fisherman. My name is Brandon Kidder. I'm here with Logan Lewis, and we appreciate you tuning in. Logan, how are you? I know you had some big things happen over the last week or so. I'm sure we'll get into that, but how's things otherwise?
Really good, really good. Right now, as we're recording this, I think it's minus 35, which maybe wouldn't make people very happy, but that's just making safe ice everywhere, or safe ice safer, so I'm pretty pumped about that, and really looking forward to getting into the swing of things with ice fishing here now that hunting's done. How about yourself?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think this morning I woke up and it was minus 49, tipping minus 50. A lot of you listeners that maybe are down south a little bit or not in central Canada might not have ever experienced temps like that, but it's pretty dang cold.
It takes your breath away.
It really takes your breath away, literally. I don't know why we live in a place where the air makes my face hurt, but today was one of those days. But nonetheless, like you mentioned, ice is being created. Safe ice is being created, more safe now. Mm-hmm. Super excited. I've only been out ice fishing one time. I know a lot of guys are out there hitting the ice hard. So just excited to get out there more, especially now that most areas are going to be safer to at least walk on. So
I know some, like, I have quite a good time in the I think it's like Diefenbaker Outdoors group. It's pretty funny group in there. And I saw someone put in there this week, it's like, planning to go fish the lake. What should I be bringing? My feet, my quad, or my sled? And first comment was, bring your boat, because their main lake's still open.
Yes. So
it's pretty crazy that could be, because we have had some cold days, but it takes a good stretch to get deep to freeze up. But luckily, most other lakes, I think, seem to be locked up pretty good. I think Last Mountain is looking pretty good in lots of spots too. I had a buddy message me, and he was talking about Collingwood area there.
Yeah.
And he said, if you're planning to drive on at Collingwood anytime this year, don't, because there's basically a heave surrounding the entire launch, it sounds like where people drive on. So it kind of creates a semicircle from shore around the launch to shore. So I don't really know. I mean, some people do cross them, but that's always a little bit sketchy, I find. So I don't know, I guess we can see there, but it's kind of, I think lots of other lakes had a good freeze, kind of got to freeze without any wind for the most part. So I know that's going to help a lot. So I guess time will tell.
Yeah, and it's funny too, right? You mentioned like Diefenbaker, still open water, and then, you know, you got guys already driving on at Buffalo Pound. So
yeah, it's exactly
pretty crazy how drastic, you know, the lakes aren't terribly far away, but just how drastically different they are.
Yeah, and I was actually talking with some buddies at hockey about that the other night, and I was like, yeah, I get that, whatever, they say 12 inches is enough for a truck, and I'm like, but where isn't it 12? Where is it 8? Or where is it 6, the kind of thing, right? Like, you never know how a spot might freeze. There's lots of springs and stuff on Buffalo. I can speak to it personally, just being out there for so long, and there's places that are sketchy in February, let alone right now. And if you don't know that, I mean, lots of the people that are taking their shacks out there already, they probably live out there, they fish it a lot. But I was like, I don't even know why people need a shack. Like, for the most part, you're fine to fish outside right now and it'll be fine. And then the guys at hockey are like, yeah, not everyone's there for the fishing. I was like, oh, that makes more sense. I didn't think about that part. So I guess that's the main reason a trailer out there is good. But yeah, it's people driving out there, but they said they checked it. And I mean, we usually don't put ours on until around Christmas time. Just, we like to play it safe, but like I said, I'd rather be out there standing at a hole than in a shack anytime. So
yeah, definitely one of the guys that likes to be mobile, moving around, drilling 500 holes to catch that one fish. But yeah, I mean, before we jump into the meat of it, we got to give a quick shout out to our sponsors. Obviously, 13 Fishing, presenting sponsor. They have tons of great products on repella.ca. You can use our code WeekendWarriors, save yourself 15% off. But yeah, they're just been a great partner for the Weekend Warriors, and a lot of great products to go along with it.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess next up, we got Blackfish Gear. That's another kind of plays into that gift idea as well. They've got lots of things that are great for the majority of our seasons up here in Canada. So definitely check them out. We'll have a podcast exclusive discount code for, is it 25% now?
25% off right now, yep.
Yeah, so 25% off podcast exclusive code. You won't find it on our socials or anything like that. It's only on the podcast here. So definitely check them out and maybe get some gift ideas there too.
Yeah, you bet. The Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation, the Master Angler Program is just bumping right now. It's early ice, lots of big fish, just, you know, hot and ready, eat some baits. A lot of big fish being put on the ice. So I know if you haven't downloaded the Saskatchewan Master Angler app, do so and submit all your big catches. I have a friend that she just, you know, acquired, I believe it was her fifth species. So she got, you know, a certificate and everything that they sent out for that. And we're going to be doing some bump boards in the future with them as well. So definitely keep your eyes peeled. We're going to be doing some Master Angler bump boards down the road here.
Yeah, for sure. I know we probably won't talk about this one as in depth as we got some other stories, but I was about not even an eighth of an inch off of a Master Angler last weekend walleye. So it would be, I haven't really, I don't think I've caught a Master Angler walleye since this came into effect. So I haven't been able to get that certificate yet. So I was kind of choked. I looked, I saw, oh, it's 28. And then I moved, I looked over at the chin. I was like, oh, I'm just off by a bit, slid it up a bit. And yeah, that took her back under 28, but still it was, felt great to catch that fish. But I guess lastly here, we'll have a quick word from Lucky Bassr Distillers. Once again, another great gift idea as far as stocking stuffers, stuff like that. I don't know if people do those things. I know my family does quite often. So stocking stuffers, or just you need booze for the holidays. So definitely check them out. Here's a quick word from them. And then I think we'll get into the giveaway winners.
There are certain moments in life that really stick with you. This is definitely one of them. The thrill of the dill, my friends, is not a myth. Prohibition is over, Saskatchewan. Ask about LB's legendary Birmingham's Dill Pickle Vodka. After all, it's not a party until someone pulls out the pickle. Tours and tastings available. Call or stop by 814 47th Street East. And tonight, why not mix your Caesar with some Lucky Bastard? It's the one with the pickle in it.
So, I think now's the time that lots of people have been waiting for. When did we announce this giveaway? Back in September?
Yeah, it would have been the end of September, I believe. It ran for the whole month of November. We pulled together a pretty big giveaway. We're giving away a brand new StrikeMaster 40-volt Pro Light. So that's the brand new auger from StrikeMaster. It's got the carbon flighting. It's pretty much top of the line. I run one, Logan runs one. We know a lot of guys that run StrikeMaster for a lot of years and are switching to the Pro Light now. Just super light to carry around, especially first ice right now. How many holes were buzzing? Like I was out one day there, and I'm sure I'll get into this later too. But we put on like 21,000 steps, and I'll tell you, there was a lot of holes drilled that day. So just an unbelievable auger. If you don't have an electric ice auger, you know, if you're winning this, it's going to be a game changer. So so that's first place. Second place, we're giving away a custom built for the weekend Warriors cooler, top of the notch. It'll keep your drinks cold for days. Honestly, this thing's unreal. I run one, Logan runs one. These are like high-end quality coolers, so that's a great prize as well. And then our third place winner is going to be taking home a Weekend Warriors apparel package. So hoodie, hat, t-shirt of their choice and size. We'll be sending that their way, and they'll be able to rep whatever apparel they want to rep for the ice season.
Yeah. So I guess, how do you want to do this? You want to go third to first?
Yeah, man. Let's announce number three first.
Yeah, so we had thank you to everyone who entered. Had a ton of people enter. Had lots of double checking to go through, stuff like that, and it was crazy to see how many people entered. Obviously, we knew it was a great prize and that lots of people would be interested in that, but it was pretty crazy to see how many people entered. So, I guess coming in third place for the bundle of Weekend Warrior clothing was who do we got here? Tyler Stadnick. So you'll be taken home. We'll get in contact with you. There'll be an email blast that will come out before this episode, but we'll be getting in contact with you about that. And I don't know, Brandon, you want to go with second?
Sure. Yeah, no, congrats, Tyler. We hope you enjoy the apparel, and we'll get that sent your way. Number two, so taking the second place from our bunch of names, like literally took us way longer than we expected, go through all these names, verify everybody that, you know, they did all the steps. Jeff Kwasny, I believe that's how you say the last name. Not really confident on the last name, but I'm pretty sure Jeff Kwasny. So we'll reach out to you as well, but there's going to be an email going out. So hopefully, you know, you see that as well. So,
yeah, and so he'll be what?
Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead. I was going to let you do number one.
So I was going to say, just a reminder for everyone, Jeff will be taking home that Weekend Warrior's customized cooler. So definitely, I think we have a couple of those on the website too, so you can check those out if you'd like. But I guess without further ado, first place for the brand new Strike Master Auger, we have Jordan Kaz. So congratulations. That was a highly sought after prize. I know we had lots of messages, lots of comments, lots of emails, everything like that. So once again, thank you to everyone who entered the giveaway. We'll definitely hope to be doing more of these in the future. But yeah, congrats to you, Jordan. Me and Brandon both run those right now, and definitely both love them. Don't have anything bad to say about them. So I don't know. What do you got to say, Brandon?
Yeah, man, I'm just fired up. I can't wait for him to listen to this or get the email or read our message and realize that he just won basically $1,000 auger. So
yeah.
Congrats, Jordan, Jeff, and Tyler. And thank you, everybody that entered. Thank you, everybody that shared the giveaway. It was pretty overwhelming. So thank you, everybody. We truly appreciate it. Those are our three winners of our massive giveaway leading up to the 2022-23 ice season.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess moving on from that, what do we want to do? We want to talk about what's gone on since last episode, or we want to get right into that list?
Yeah, man. Tell me what happened with you and that deer there.
Yeah, so Brutus the deer.
Brutus.
The whitetail buck. No, we so actually it was actually a pretty crazy day. So it was the day our last episode came out, so two Fridays ago now, right?
Yeah.
I guess from when this one's going up. And got up that morning, went out with a couple buddies. We had like 60K winds, which wasn't as ideal. We saw quite a few deer in the morning, but they were only up for about 10 minutes. And then just with that wind, it seemed like everything went to bed down. So, I think we kind of hung out, looked around for some deer till about noon, 11 o'clock, noon kind of thing. And then headed back home. I came home and had hockey that night. So I was like, what the heck? Legal light went to like 5:30, something like that, 5:38 or something. So I was like, well, why not go do a sit? It's not too far out of town. I'll go do a sit, just see kind of what goes on, and then head off to hockey. I had all my hockey gear with me, sticks, equipment, all that stuff. So I was kind of, didn't know what was going on. I knew I was doing a trip down to Southern Saskatchewan the next day. So I was like, if I don't get one today, maybe I'll get one Saturday. So went out there, set up along this coulee there where we had seen, it was actually pretty cool. It was the hardest I'd ever seen two bucks fighting. They were rutting hard there. They're chasing does. There was three bucks, and we were about 600 yards from them along this fence line. So we didn't get a great look. We just knew, this one looks nice kind of thing. Like, quite a few points, looks wide enough and stuff. And so, I was like, what the heck? I'll go sit there. It was only like a 10 minute walk from where I parked my truck. And just went and sat down along this rock pile there. And sure enough, like you can, lots of people that hunt, or even if you're out fishing, right? Sometimes you're fishing all day for that bite. or you get there and it's the first fish, right? Sometimes. And so I'd sat down for about 5 minutes and I see this doe come over the hill to my northwest, coming along that fence line. And I was like, okay, I'm kind of like, we saw like 5 does here and 3 bucks before, so what's going to follow, kind of thing. And so I'm watching, and sure enough, buck comes up over the hill. I'm like, oh, there, that's the one that we saw from this morning that I kind of wanted to try and take a poke at if I could. And so they kind of went behind, they come up over the hill, they drop back down below another hill, and I'm like, this is my chance, kind of thing. I'm about 350, 400 yards from them, and I'm like, I want to close the distance. I don't want to take a shot that far. And so I started crawling on my belly, because just before I started to go, this doe had been eating her way towards me and had come back from the cover of that hill. So I was like, if she sees me, she's going to blow this whole thing. And what I've been told, and what I've noticed as well for the people that don't hunt, during the rut and stuff, those bucks are focused on one thing and one thing only for the most part. And it's usually the does that's going to mess up your hunt, that's going to kind of suss you out and find you. So that's who I was really worried about. This guy, Brutus here, he was just following her, kind of eating his way along too, but basically just following her. And so she poked up over that, and I crawled on my belly down this coulee, little valley thing. And as soon as I got, basically every time she lift up her head, I just stop, I just freeze. And then she put her head down again, and I start crawling, get like another 10 yards, and then she lift up her head again. And once I got below her eyesight, I just booked it. I got, as soon as I was at her eyesight, stood up, booked it down to the bottom of the coulee, back up the other side. And just before I was getting to the tip top of it, kind of started to sneakily peer over the edge of there. And I found them. They're both just sitting. They had, in that time that I was in the valley in the coulee, they had come and bedded along this fence. So I watched them both. They sat there watching both for like probably 45 minutes and just getting, I kind of get a little bit of buck fever. And then once that started to wear off a bit, then I was just cold. And so I started shaking then, and I was like, I can't watch much longer. Like, I don't want to have something go wrong here. The more time I wait, basically, the more time that there is for something to go wrong. Right. So, I got pretty lucky. There was a doe because of these, I guess also when I said 60K winds, it still is at this point in the evening, and they're coming right at my face. So these deer, they don't hear anything. They can't get your wind and smell you or anything like that. So I'm sitting pretty. And the only thing was the wind kept blowing my barrel around a bit. Like a big gust would come and kind of push you to the side, which obviously wouldn't be great for your shot. But anyway, sat there for a bit. And then this doe walked behind me in the coulee that I just come through. And the buck saw that doe and kind of put his head up higher than he had the whole 45 minutes. I'm like, this is my chance. So, long story short, not long after that, got to walk up to the deer for the first time, and I still didn't have a name for him at this point. The name didn't come till about a day later, but yeah, he was a brute, an old buck. One of my buddies here, he's gonna be able to age it for me, but lots of people are saying about 6 to 8, they're thinking, years old, stuff like that. I don't know, biggest buck I've ever shot. That's only my second, but still, this one is substantially larger. And pretty pumped about it. Call lots of your buddies that you're talking to. It's kind of one of the fun parts after you finally get your deers, call your buddies, FaceTime them, whatever, talk to them, and sent some pictures to some buddies. And lots of them are like, you may never shoot a bigger deer again, kind of thing. So
yeah,
we'll have to see. Actually, as far as the Sask Wildlife, the Moose Jaw Wildlife Federation is putting on a scoring night on the 15th of December. So me and a buddy will be signing up for that. You can take your clean skulls in, so your Euro mounts or whatever, and get them scored by someone who actually knows what they're doing. I have a vague idea, but just kind of cool to know. It's not really a competition to me. I just like to know for myself, because lots of guys, you can be driving, they're like, oh, that's a 140, that's a 150, like whatever, right? Driving around. And so it'd be kind of cool just for a frame of reference. But yeah, we'll be, the heads actually just got cleaned and they're complete now. So I got to drive to White City and pick them up. But, that was the gist of it. I was pretty pumped. Definitely. It's kind of like when I was guiding, or when you take someone fishing who's never fished before and they don't realize how good they have it. Even though I've hunted for a couple of years now, I still don't realize, I guess, how good we have it in Saskatchewan. But that maybe played into it a bit, because I walked up to this deer and I was like, it's big. Like, it's got a lot of mass to it. It's not like tall by any means, but the mass to it is crazy. And it's got split brow tines, and it's, I think it was, if you're counting both the split brow tines, I think it was a 7x7 or something like that. So depending where you're from, you'd say 7x7, 14 pointer. I don't know how that stuff works, but, I was pumped. The only regret I have is, which I guess it's not a bad regret to have, is I didn't, so you can get your Euro mount or your shoulder mount. So shoulder mount being with the hide, everything right. It looks like that shoulder up of the deer. And, I didn't know how to skin it to do that. And I could have looked it up, but I was just, your brain's not working right once you're that pumped up. And so I did mess that up in a sense. I guess I could get another hide to do that and go from there. But I think I'll be happy with this Euro mount. And lots of people said it'll be the biggest deer I'll probably ever shoot, but I guess it's just a challenge to shoot a bigger one so I can do it the right way next time. But yeah, 100%. It was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. Followed by, so that was actually, we recorded Thursday night and I edited it that night, right? Before the episode with Jamie Bruce there. So I edited that till like 11:30, 12 o'clock that night. It was around the time I got to bed. Episode went up Friday morning and I was hunting. So I was up at like 5:45 Friday morning hunting. So on Friday, I shot that deer. We had the new episode go out. And we hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. So it was a pretty cool day for myself and the podcast. But yeah, had that going. And then Saturday went down south of Assiniboia. I was getting texts saying, welcome to the United States. That's how close we were to the border. Got two of my buddies. We went out there with another guy, and my buddies both got their first whitetail bucks. So they were pumped about that. But that day was, a 5 o'clock till... I think I got home at 8 p.m. And Friday after that deer, because I was by myself also. I don't know if I said that part. I was alone. So I dealt with that deer by myself and I was home. I was home by about 9, but then you're calling everyone. You're all jacked up. I didn't get off the phone till like midnight. So once again, another five-hour sleep. And so we go hunting the next day. And yeah, I get home around 8, but then I got to drive to Regina to pick my girlfriend up from the airport. And so we got home at like 11 something that night. And then I wake up the next day, get to sleep in a bit, but then we processed 3 deer from 1 p.m. till 1 a.m. And then I go to work on Monday. So it was a grind of a weekend, but it was definitely worth it.
Man, that's literally like the anthem of the weekend warrior though, right? I mean, it's a grind, but think about all the things that happened that weekend that you're never going to forget. You know what I mean?
Like exactly.
Even, you know, shooting the deer is one thing that you'll never forget, but even like, you know, going down, getting your buddy's first bucks, processing for the, whatever it was, 12 hours you did, like, you're not going to forget those. And that speaks loudly to the Weekend Warrior brand that we have here. And, you know, we live it, we breathe it. Logan more so, than myself with the hunting scene. I'm not into the hunting scene as of yet. I'd like to. But Logan is, you know, just getting into hunting. Was this your second or third year?
This is my third full season. So
third full season
for too long.
Yeah. So like, right. I mean, anybody that wants to get into hunting or is considering it, or, you know, maybe is like staying away from it, shying away from it because you weren't raised around it like myself. My dad didn't hunt. Yeah. I wasn't around anybody that hunted. So just naturally, it wasn't something that I was intrigued on. But now, right, I got, you know, you as a close friend and other close friends that hunt. And, you know, it makes me want to get into it and really kind of dive in as a newbie and experience the whole weekend warrior aspect of hunting from a new person perspective. For me, like you see all the content and you see all the guides and you see all of it on social media, and you know a lot of people that are big into hunting, but I feel like there's just not a lot of people my age that are easing into it now. It's always people start young because it's a tradition, you know, dad or grandpa or uncle, you know, they're hunting and you're kind of raised in on it. So if you're like myself and you're my age or a little bit older and you have buddies that are into it and you want to get into it, just do it. I think I'm going to work towards it this winter if I have time, and hopefully, you know, next fall, ready to go waterfall, deer.
Yeah, no, whatever, it's, so. And I totally know what you mean. Cause my dad fished.
Yeah.
But my grandpa hunted, but I was never went out with him or anything like that. So I literally, same as you, had some friends that did it. And I was like, this is something I want to get into. I still don't like killing things. That's my least favorite part of hunting, if that makes any sense at all. But, I like, even when I was younger, still into my teens, I hated killing fish to keep fish. Like I did not like that, but it's kind of that, it's that respect and everything like that. Like my favorite part, like, I don't know, I'm sure there's some people whose their favorite part is going out and actually killing things. But to me, that's my least favorite part. I enjoy the
harvest,
the whole chase of it, the harvest, like respecting it all, knowing where your food's coming from, all that stuff. Like that's kind of the fulfilling part of it. So yeah, I was the same as you, kind of had to get into it myself. I had some really helpful friends, some great friends that made that a lot easier. Like I'm sure lots of us have seen, if you're doing it yourself, it's going to maybe take you 10 years to figure something out. But if you start going out with people who know things and you're lucky enough to have that, your learning curve is so much greater. It's insane. So definitely something that I'm happy I got into. And yeah, it's something that if you can, you should get into. And like, it's just like fishing. There's some people who have one rod, couple hooks, and they go and do it from shore. Or there's people that have the $200,000 boat, all the electronics, more rods than you can shake a stick at, right? It's, you can be the same for hunting. You can, it all depends how much you want to put into it, right? So definitely something great to check out. But I guess, like you said, I was out doing that stuff on the weekends. And I think another true thing for a weekend warrior is like, I get up earlier on the weekends than I do for work during the week. Like it's, and it's not like I start work at 7, right? But I get up not way earlier, but substantially earlier on the weekends, whether it's hunting or fishing. And so I actually get to, in a sense, sleep in during the week lots of the time compared to the weekend. So I think that's something that also plays into it. But I guess while I was out doing that on Sunday, you're out on the hard water, right?
Yes, sir. Got out there for the first time this ice season, and it just felt unreal. I mean, every year when you get out there, right, you're checking ice and you're making sure everything's safe. But I think it's just, there's a different feeling once you get out a certain distance from shore and you're picking the ice with your, and it's thick and you know you're close to your spot. Mm-hmm. Where you know you can find fish, it's just a different feeling when you know that you're there, you're safe, you can go get all the gear, come set up, and just have a day. And you know, doesn't even matter if you catch anything. Just being out there for the first time is just such an amazing feeling. After the period, you know, from open water to hard water, you got the layoff, and you're just kind of thinking about fishing for a full month there. But yeah, I mean, all in all, fantastic day. I'll never complain about a day on the hard water. But it ended up being a grind. Just kind of like you were talking there with your deer and everything. Like the whole weekend was a grind. My first day on the ice was a grind. We got out there, you know, it was early. We left the city around 5:30, 6 o'clock. You know, we're out there before sunrise.
Was someone a little hungover?
Weekend
warrior.
That didn't help either. Yeah, I think it was my sister-in-law's engagement party the night before. So kind of similar, right? You know, running on a little bit of sleep, you know, get home at 3 a.m. You're up at 5:30, packing everything. You're on the road grabbing a coffee and away you go. So, yeah, running on low hours of sleep, just excited to be out there. Like I mentioned earlier in this episode, at the end of this day, you know, looking at the Apple Watch, 21,000 plus steps. Like we put on the miles, we grinded it out. Yeah, we made two big moves that day. After, you know, really nothing spectacular, you know, a couple small perch, walleye, Cisco, nothing crazy, right? Not what you expect first ice. You think first ice, you're just gonna go slam some big fish, and it's just gonna be, you know, a great day. Was a great day. We weren't catching what we were after, so we made two big moves, and it was 5:30, I think, in the evening, and everyone was kind of like, all right, boys, we should, pack her in, the feet are wet, your feet are sore, lots of steps, and we'll try this one spot on the way back, we're walking for a distance, let's drill some holes, and drop the live scope down, and nothing, but at this point, I was just like, tired. I wasn't gonna hole hop, especially with the live scope. The thing's just a beast to carry around. So I left it in the sled. That's the way to do it. Leave it in the sled and drag the sled around if you're hole hopping.
Yeah.
But I'm talking to a buddy, and we're literally just, talking about nothing. And I'm just not looking, not paying attention. I'm not even jigging. Just dead sticking, holding the rod dead straight. And I look at the live scope, and there's just this big orange, long,
massive
blob on the screen. And I didn't even feel a bite on my rod. I just instantly decided to set my hook because I saw this big blob basically sitting where my hook was, and made a hook set, and that fish was there. No fight whatsoever coming up. Buddy comes over. Oh, I think it's a Cisco. And I'm like, yeah, it's not really doing anything crazy. Had a couple small, quick head shakes, kind of like a Cisco might do, nothing big and aggressive. And because it's early ice, there was no snow on the ice, thin ice, we just see this big white belly come up underneath the ice. And this thing, I swear to God, I was like, oh my God, this is my PB. This is a big, big walleye. This is going to be my PB. And I'm just basically losing my mind right now because I got a GoPro on, and I'm trying to record this, and my SD card is full. Okay. And then I'm reeling, and all of a sudden I kind of feel like my reel is a little loose, and I check in. Sure enough, my little screw on the other side of the handle is not screwed in. So I'm trying to tighten the screw on my handle on my reel. Well, this walleye is just suction cupped to the bottom of the ice. And thankfully we were able to get our shit together and get that fish out of the hole. Wasn't my PB. Not that I'm disappointed, upset, but under the ice, everything's so magnified. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is my PB. This is it. This is my 30. This is my 30. I'm club 30. I'm on mission 30. I'm calling it mission 30. she was just shy of 29 inches. So 28.9, I'm calling it, because it was literally, I thought it was 29, but it just wasn't tipping. So, but Saskatchewan Master Angler.
You submit it?
First walleye of the ice fishing season.
Oh, nice.
I did so not caught catch
a walleye all day?
I hadn't caught a walleye all dang day.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
So first eye of the season, Saskatchewan Master Angler. So I got a video and some pictures and stuff, and honestly, the expression on my face says it all. Like, the amount of excitement and just overall just adrenaline running through me, right? You grind all day, 21,000 steps. You're tired. You want to go home. And all of a sudden, this one fish just makes your day. And, couldn't really ask for a better end to that. So, big, beautiful walleye sent back to be caught by somebody else another day.
Yeah, it's funny that you say it didn't really fight much, because I, as I kind of talked about earlier in the episode, having that one just under 28, what did I have on? I think I had a dinner bell on, dropped that down. I was hole hopping. It was big winds on, what day was that? Last Sunday, pretty big winds. And just hole hopping a bit, and I dropped the dinner bell down, jigged it for a couple minutes, not a single mark at all. And I reel up, and I'm just hooking the dinner bell onto the rod, and a nice mark shows up. I'm like, okay. So I send down one of the classic Rapala ripping wraps. And as soon as it, this fish was a half a foot off bottom, its mark. And I started dropping down, and it came up 6 feet as mine was coming down. It's 6 feet off bottom. hit this rip and wrap, just crushed it. And I was like, okay, whatever, set the hook. And not really much of a fight until it got up to the hole. And then it kind of gives some of those head shakes and goes down a bit. And then I got to kind of finesse it a bit. But then it came up and I was like, wow. Like, I have the video, I still have to post it. But its head coming out of that hole was like, oh my goodness, this is a big fish. But I didn't expect it at the start with basically it came up and crushed that. And maybe it was swimming towards me as I was reeling in. But it came up and crushed that. And I was like, other than like Lakers and some burbot fishing, you don't really see fish come that high off bottom a lot to come and eat. So definitely pretty cool. But I guess that was your first experience with your own live scope too, right?
Yes, sir. That was amazing. I got some footage too that I took with my phone. It's unbelievable. It's, I've used it, briefly, last ice season. That was the LVS 32 transducer. This is the 34. So this is the LiveScope Plus. Everything is just honestly so crystal clear. I don't know if I could go back to not having it, and I've only used it for one day. I mean, the only downside really, right, is it is such a big unit to carry around for hole hopping of that sense. That's why I do have a traditional flasher as well, for hole hopping still. But it was just fantastic, you know, sitting down, having it in one hole, having myself and a buddy in holes around it, and being able to just watch those fish come in from, you know, 20, 30, 40 feet away and close on your bait. Or, you know, you change your cadence and you can literally see that fish spin around, do a 180 and start swimming away. And you get to see, okay, well, that fish is obviously swimming the other direction. On a flasher, you would never know that, right? If it's in your cone, if it's in your cone distance, you just know that there's a mark in the general area. So being able to see that fish come in from such a far distance and then get 3 feet away from your bait and turn around and swim the complete opposite direction is interesting. And it's I don't know how to explain it. But then you get like a school, right? You get a school of 9 or 10 fish coming around, and it's just like mayhem. It's unbelievable. So
good.
I'd recommend. I mean, they're expensive, right? So not everybody's going to be able to, you know, add it to the Christmas list this year. But if you can.
That's like 7 Christmases, 8 Christmases. Yeah,
if you can. I think, you know, if you fish lots, it's worth it. If you are in need of a boat, whether it be a pontoon, fishing boat, maybe you just need a small boat to get into the backwoods, a river system, check out our friends JP Adventure Rentals and SAS Best Boat Rentals. They have everything you need for all of your adventures, whether it be fishing or fun with the family.
Be sure to mention that you're a Weekend Warriors listener for 10% off everything, including gift cards.
Here's a quick word from JP Adventure Rentals.
Get your adventure on with JP Adventure Rentals in Saskatchewan. Whether it's remote ice fishing, hunting, trail riding, or just taking family and friends out for a day of fun, JP Adventure Rentals has you covered with brand new ATVs, snowmobiles, aluminum trailers, plus accessories. Visit jpadventurerentals.ca to make your reservation. Check out our sister company, Saskatchewan's Best Boat Rentals, for all of your boat rental needs. Pre-book now. Get out there with JP Adventure Rentals. We rent fun.
Yeah, if you can swing it. No, that's pretty cool. I think I plan to be out 1, if not 2 days this weekend. So I think, I don't know. Don't know where I'll be, but maybe I'll see some listeners out there. I know we've run into some people at the launch and stuff before, which is always nice to meet people. So I don't know, hoping maybe a Buffalo day and then maybe a Last Mountain day. I don't know. We'll see. But I don't know. Should we get into our list, our list of 10 items for Christmas?
Yep. So we decided we're going to pull together a list of 10 items, gift ideas, Christmas gift ideas for a fisherman by fishermen. So we got 5 items that we think would be a great gift, under $100. And then we got 5 items, that we think
would be an
unbelievable gift with the, if you really got no budget, or over $100, I guess. So, do you want to kick it off or what?
Yeah. I mean, this list, I mean, we can, as fishermen, outdoorsmen, we can be hard to buy for. So
extremely tough.
Yeah, extremely tough to buy for, so we figured, what the heck, why not toss this list together? And I know lots of people should like these things. I mean, obviously some of them are sponsors' items, but they're ones we've all used, and lots of these we've put to the test and stuff, but we've also got some from outside the list. But I guess first off here, we've got the 50-pound digital Rapala scale. I mean, that's going to be useful really anytime. I guess with talking about this, like obviously it'd be good for tournament guys, stuff like that, kind of calling your fish and figuring out what you got in the live well. But one thing it can also be good for is maybe during tip-up season. But I'll preface that with, we're not hanging fish by the jaws anymore, right? That's not a thing. If you're going to do that, you could also look into buying a cradle. I know most fishing stores offer that, wherever their net section is, stuff like that. Get a cradle, have some kind of live well that you can drill, set that cradle in the live well, and then you can use this 50-pound digital Rapala scale to measure the fish in the cradle. The fish lays perfectly horizontal. Nothing's pushing on them. You're not hanging it by their jaw. You're not hanging them vertical, anything like that. Much, much easier on the fish. So that's kind of something I wanted to throw in with that. If you are thinking about weighing fish like that, especially the big ones you'd be getting on tip ups or big lakers and stuff like that.
100%. Number two. So obviously if you're going to be ice fishing, you'd need a rod. One of our favorites, Logan and I both run this. I've literally put it through the ringer. Just caught my 28.9-inch walleye the other day on this. It was the 36 medium heavy version of it, but the 13 Fishing Omen ice rod. This thing is an unbelievable rod. It's built for the big dogs. It's also, you can get them for, you know, the larger species, so lakers, pike, walleye, and you know, you can get it all the way down to like a 24-inch ultralight. So basically this one model of rod covers basically any species that you might want to chase here in Saskatchewan through the ice. So you can get a 24-inch all the way up to a 42-inch. So you can get a 42-inch heavy, and that's going to be fantastic for pike, lake trout, and you can go all the way down to 24-inch ultralight for your smaller species, and you know, chasing perch at Buffalo Pound or something. So
yeah, I think I caught that big pike last March on that rod too, right?
Yep, you did.
Yeah. So yeah, there we go. So and also be sure to check out the show notes below. You can use the Weekend Warriors code, save 15% on all these items that are Rapala, Strike Master, whatever, stuff like that. You can save 15% there. But next up, we have new this year, the Snap Cap Blade Guard for the Strike Master augers. This is a big one. Got to use it a couple times this year already. It's so nice. So basically, it's magnetic, the way it sets up on the end of your auger there. I know I've kind of fussed around with using the ones with those like elastic bands that come around, but eventually, whether it's the plastic or rubber ones, those eventually after a couple of years wear out and snap. Some of the newer ones weren't too bad. They're kind of like a bungee cord type of thing, but this one literally, just set the auger down in it. When you want to take it out, you can just, what I did at least, is stand on both sides, kind of releases a pin, not a pin, but like a little, what'd you call that? I don't know even what you would call a little clicker on each side, and yeah, the auger lifts right up. And it's so easy. You definitely want to keep your augers protected. You need those blades sharp, especially if you're ripping holes. Nothing worse than drilling holes with dull blades. So that's something to check out.
Yeah, I think that's a super cool product. That's, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I've gone through so many different cap strings. What do you call those? Rubber?
Yeah.
Yeah, those things keep snapping or keep getting ripped by the blades too. So yeah, that new Snap Cap Blade Guard is going to be absolutely crucial for keeping your blade safe.
Yep.
All right. Number four. Typically, you're going to need other than a rod, you're going to need a tip up. So, you know, you can get your general thermal tip up with a tip up string, and you know, you can hand bomb a fish in, but specifically we're talking about like a jaw jacker or an automatic hook setting tip up. So Logan, I know you've used them a lot for stock trout. Yep. They've come in pretty dang handy for you.
Yeah, no, it's It's definitely something, like, I mean, when you said automatic hook setting device, we definitely want to preface that with make sure that they're legal wherever you are. Like, these jaw jackers are a little different, right? It's using the bend and the action of the rod to set that hook. Like, I know, I'm pretty sure even in Saskatchewan here, if there was some sort of spring system used to set that hook, that would make it illegal. But basically, all that this does is with the bend of the rod, for those of you who don't know what jaw jacker is, bend of the rod goes in. There's a device on the tip of your rod that kind of goes into the jaw jacker. And then your line runs out the front. And when that line is pulled down on, so a fish swimming away with it or a fish biting, that triggers that. And basically your rod bounces up because of the action of the rod and kind of gives you a hook set there. So, I mean, when I was talking about the day I was out, when I caught that just under 28-inch walleye, they saved the day. Like, it was slow on the rods. Like, it was, I'd heard from a buddy and frequent listener that it was hot that day, or the day before, the Saturday, eating rattle baits, coming in hard, eating heavy. And so I was kind of hoping for that. And I got there and they wouldn't touch anything but a dead stick. All we had was a split shot to an octopus or a treble and with a minnow on there. And that's what most were eating on. I think we only caught three fish on the rods, one of them being that big walleye, but the perch were absolutely loving it. Caught some jumbos, some of that 12-inch range. So can't go wrong with the jaw jacker. I think I've got two. The other nice thing about them is they fold up so dang small. Like, yeah, Literally the arms fold in. They've got little pin systems, so you can bring in the areas where the rod's sitting in, and you could, I don't even know how many you could fit in a 5-gallon bucket, whatever they are. I don't know how many you could fit in there. Like, they're so nice and easy to pack away. I just stick them in wherever extra room I have in my sled when I'm walking out, and they're nice to have. So
there you go. Yeah. And then number five on our $100 and under budget list, Weekend Warriors ice season apparel. Something that you can throw in a stocking, like a t-shirt or a hat, or a hoodie. We are dropping some new designs for ice season, so definitely keep your eyes peeled to our website. We are going to be dropping two new designs this week. So, yeah, you can get them for Christmas. They're going to be fantastic designs. They're going to be two that you don't want to miss. I'm going to be wearing a bunch of them over the Christmas holiday season.
Yeah, there might be a burbot theme to one for all those burbot enthusiasts out there. So that's all I'll say about that. But I guess that kind of concludes our top five. Or not top five, but five under $100 budget. Those are great for Christmas presents, some stocking stuffers, stuff like that. But I guess we may as well move on to the no budget. This one ranges honestly from just over $100 to probably the most money you're going to spend on fishing stuff. So this is kind of a no rules list here. So I guess number one on this list, no particular order, we picked up to use to kind of record clips and stuff this year for the pod. We picked up the Mark and Pursuit HDL camera. We have no affiliation with any AquaView, Markham, anything like that. Actually, my family ran a Vexlar camera for the last 7 or 8 years at the shack at Buffalo. So no affiliation with anyone. I have been very impressed with this Mark and Pursuit camera. It's got to use it. I'd seen Lane Meyer, Mountain Man Outdoors, who we've had on a couple times. He was running it last year, and that's kind of where I first saw it. But basically, it's a little compact camera, 5-inch screen. It's got a lithium battery. That's what the L is in the name, and it's HD. It's crazy how clear this is. Like, you just pop in a micro SD card. You can record. You can set it to like 3, 5, 10, and 15-minute cycles. Like, you could just hit record, and it will just record those videos for 3 minutes at a time, 5 minutes at a time, whatever. It's got a nice reel on the back with 50 feet of line. And so basically, it's instead of, like, you know, lots of the cameras, you have some kind of thing, whether it's the body of the camera or some kind of device that you're wrapping around that line when you're bringing it up. Well, all this is a little handle that pops up, and you literally just reel in the line. It's very slick. And then to partner with that, you can get the Markham, the arm that the camera goes into as well, remote controlled. Has a really nice
wireless,
yeah, remote controlled. Yeah. And it works so well. It has a nice way to hold hold the line in there. I know I've used some other ones. Like, I'm sure anyone who's used a camera before always has that issue of, oh, turn it like an inch more. Oh, then it goes three, and then you got to go back, and then the camera sways. So it's always a pain. And this arm for the Markham that they make, it's pretty slick with that remote control. I can see exactly which way it's pointing, and then boom, I can put it right on. It has such an easy mechanism to change the angle. So actually, when we were out on Sunday, I had it pointing down a bit, so we were actually like a couple feet off bottom and pointing down at the hook, and we could see a little bit more that way. That is kind of cool, seeing different action of the fish. So I've been very happy with it so far. Very easy to record, very light, very small. Yeah, so that's number one on that list.
Perfect. Yeah, number two is if you don't have an electric ice auger yet, I feel like you need one. I feel like that's the way that the industry is going. I mean, I know some people that have some old gassers that have never let them down, and they're never going to get rid of them, which is understandable. Yeah. But if you have somebody in your family that, or somebody that you got to buy a gift for, and you got a larger budget, or you can pull together with a few buddies or something to get this angler a real great gift, get them an electric ice auger. I feel like you can't go wrong. All of the brands are great. Everything is lithium, batteries, so you really don't got to worry about like battery life. Most of them too, around the holidays when you purchase them, will come with a second battery too.
That's huge.
That's huge. If you can find a sale like that, that's big time. But I mean, us personally, we both run Strike Master, so we can't recommend them enough. You can head to repella.ca and you can pick up a Strike Master with our 15% off discount code. Basically you're saving $150 when you buy it online at repella.ca. But if you have some local shops, go check them out. A lot of people are going to be having to say like a sale, like if you purchase it, it comes with a second battery or comes with something else. So
yeah, and they actually just came out, I believe, with the 10-inch light flight as well, right?
Yep. So this year they came out with the 10-inch pro light. So
yeah, and I mean, that's like, I took out my buddy and his girlfriend on Sunday, and he saw this auger and he saw the flighting, and he's like kind of like looking at it like, yeah, that's gonna break kind of thing. And I was like, honestly, I was surprised, like re-drilling holes holds up to that, which for lots of us, we know that can be hard on augers as far as the blades or the flighting, right? Like it doesn't always kind of go back in the same way. So I mean, I've been very impressed with it. The way that it's so light is crazy. If you want to go even lighter, one of my buddies just picked up the 24 volt which is like, it's actually crazy how much. I think it's like, is it six? It's 6 or 10 pounds lighter.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah, so it's crazy. And I guess maybe I'll ask you, because you knew. I saw something about it online with the batteries having also like a plug into it too, like acting as a power bank.
Yep, so the new Strike Master batteries have USB plugins. So like I have two batteries for my ProLite. One is an old battery, one is a new battery. New battery, yep. I use a lot of the time for charging phones or cameras or anything of that sort out on the ice, that if I need a battery source, I know that I got my auger battery as a two-purpose battery out there.
Yeah, perfect. Well, actually, back to the Markham, you could charge the Markham with it because it can charge through USB, if you have a battery box, I know tons of ice fishermen have their battery boxes, right?
Yeah.
You can plug in right into that and it charges through USB. So that's pretty sweet.
Perfect.
Yeah, I guess moving on from the auger, we kind of go to the traditional flasher. Like Brandon talked about having the live scope, it's going to be pretty hard to go back to that. But I mean, if you've got someone that's looking to get into ice fishing, I mean, I would say some sort of a flasher is definitely like, it's about being efficient, right? Being weekend warriors, you only got a couple days and you don't want to be wondering what's going on down there. Like I've had tons of times at Buffalo, we kind of going through a cycle right now where there's tons of small perch, and if you sat at that hole for 20 minutes, you'd never have a bite. But you look down there on that flasher and there's lots of fish there. It's just, they're smaller, right? So if you just want to catch numbers, you could downsize. But if you didn't know, you weren't using a flasher, you're just fishing blind, well, you could figure it out. There's no fish around here. So definitely something to check out. Like I know my first flasher was the Ice 35. I think it ran me like $300 bucks, something like that. So it's really, as far as electronics go, that's pretty affordable, right? I ran that for a couple seasons, very happy with it. The only reason I changed away from it was I got the Helix for my boat and just figured, well, what the heck, may as well convert this to an ice unit. So I still have the 35. I use that for tip-ups.
Yep.
It's so quick, it's light. And so, yeah, can't go wrong with that. Lots of great brands, right? You got Humminbird, Vexlar. Like, you got a lot of people you can choose from, Markham. So as far as those traditional flashers, they don't break the bank too much. And they're definitely one of an ice fisherman's best tools.
Yeah, and I think it's crazy, too, how many people I talk to that, you know, are avid ice anglers, and they don't use a flasher. And I feel like a lot of them, too, I'd be like, so, if, you know, what do you got for electronics? And they're like, what do you mean electronics? I feel like a lot of them don't even realize that there's electronics for ice fishing. I think they just think there's electronics for open water fishing. So it's pretty crazy to me. Yeah, you can pick up a flasher for like $400 or $500, you know, a really good one, too. So there's so many different brands. Check those out. Number nine on our list here. This is one that I feel like more and more people are getting into, and more people want to get into. They just haven't yet. So, if you have if you're buying for an angler that wants to get into ice camping, get them a cot. I mean, they're going to need somewhere to sleep. They're going to need somewhere to, you know, get comfy and pull up for the night. So if they already got the hub shelter and everything like that, the heaters and everything, something you can get them that's fairly simple and not super expensive is a cot. And I mean, I know Cabela's always has them on sale too, so check that place out. Amazon, I'm pretty sure I know a few people that have got theirs from Amazon. They're actually super, super like high quality ones for a decent price. So cot, not a traditional fishing item, but something that I feel like is gaining more and more popularity. And of course, if you are getting into ice camping and you're using like a propane heater and stuff, you know, make sure you're taking all the safety precautions.
Yeah, I was about to say that. If you're doing that, may as well pick up a CO2 monitor, whatever, at that time, because that's very important. Yeah, like I know when I'm out ice camping, all the vents up top are open. It doesn't make my throat feel too good in the morning, but I usually crack the window right by my head where I'm sleeping, and breathing in the cold air all night isn't great, but you're warm in your sleeping bag and whatnot in the shack, but it's just another added safety precaution on top of having the monitor in there. So like Brandon said, they go on sale, like this could go in the under $100 budget because cots go on sale at Cabela's for like $60. You can get, like, I got a minus 25 sleeping bag there. What was it, 50% off? It was like $60 as well, something like that. And it's been great. So that's something that just adds time on the ice, right? Like some great times are spent on the ice in the middle of the night, like 2 a.m. waking up to bells of burbot or whatever, right? Like it's a lot of fun and can make for a good weekend. Or if you're going on a trip somewhere, me and two buddies went all the way up to Lac La Plonge, which is a pretty far drive for us here in the south, right? And north of Meadow Lake there, and we went all the way up there, and we did rent a cabin while we were up there, but they didn't have availability our first night. So we lugged everything out there that first night and slept on the ice in my shack there. So I don't know. It's a good time. It's a little different. People think of camping, they think of summer, kind of hot vacation close to home, stuff like that. But I don't know. It's something pretty fun. So I guess, I don't know. We want to go on number 10 here? This is a pretty big one. I'm sure lots of people probably know what it is, but you may as well talk about it since you got it.
Yeah, I mean, live imaging, doesn't matter what brand it is. If, you know, if you're a parent or somebody and you're looking to get the kid of yours that's a hardcore fisherman, a gift that's going to keep on giving for years to come, and, you know, something that you can utilize as maybe a birthday and Christmas and, you know, every other kind of gift all into one. Live imaging, I think, is the ultimate gift that can be given this holiday season.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is expensive, and, you know, it's not completely necessary by any means. So, that being said, I would highly recommend it if it can be done. So yeah. I know there's going to be a lot of anglers, a lot of people out there with a live scope on their wish list this holiday season. And I know there's, you know, a lot of guys that I know that, you know, purchased an early Christmas gift for themselves. So yeah. it can't be matched. I mean, it's a way that I can keep my wife and, you know, nephews and nieces and everybody engaged and entertained out on the ice and, just, you know, create memories for years to come. So, Garmin LiveScope Plus, or there's a bunch of other brands too that have live imaging now too. So,
yeah, exactly. And I guess, that kind of does it for the list that we had made up. But, one thing I kind of wanted to put in is before we recorded the pod, me and Brandon went through even just the ice accessories, ice tools and accessories on the Rapala website. Like, lots of these items on our list we have, and so we can kind of speak to it, as you could probably tell there when we went through the list. But like, even little things like, on their list of stuff here, we've got the mini charge and glow, $25. I have that, stays in my pocket, especially when you're going for bourbon or something like that. Maybe early in the morning you want to glow up a bit. Like, it's so easy. I've had it for a couple of years. I think I've changed the batteries once. Like, it works so well. But I mean, definitely go check out that list if you're looking. Like, great stocking stuffers on there. They've got a bunch of new stuff. And if you really can't think of anything, I don't know, go on to the Rapala website, go into the, I think they have an area where it's like pro picks, right? You can get a little tackle box, buy 5, 6, 7 hooks, and put them together in there, and that's an easy Christmas present too, right? You've got the pro suggestions there on what to use for ice fishing, for summer fishing, for walleye, for bass, whatever, right? So definitely easy stuff. But if you are going on the Rapala website, be sure to use our discount code, save yourself 15%. I think we're nearing the end of the pod here, so we got to mention 13 Fishing. So thankful to have them as the presenting sponsors. So definitely some great Christmas present ideas there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's kind of all we got for you guys today. This week's just kind of like a house cleaning episode. We had some guests lined up that we're hoping to sit down with either tomorrow or next week to release another episode here before the end of the year. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. 2022 has been an absolute blast and a blessing. I think I can speak for both of us that the support that we received from everybody from across the country and out of country and all of our sponsors and friends and family, the pod's kind of turned into a little bit more than we ever expected, and we couldn't be any more grateful for all of you following along, tuning in, and being part of the Weekend Warriors brand. So I think I mentioned this the other night on our social media story that you guys are the brand. You guys are what the brand represents and why we do this. And, you know, there's just, yeah, we thoroughly enjoy it. And so we just wanted to say thank you.
Yeah, no, that's ditto to that. not much else to say there differently. Definitely looking forward to what's to come in 2023, but we'll hopefully have another episode or two coming out here before year's end. And until then, good luck out there.
Thanks for tuning in to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your favorite listening platform so we can reach more anglers just like you. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for media updates and behind-the-scenes content.